an old rugged cross he'd go. For who am I? Let's stand tonight. Sing it again with all your heart. He'd go. For who am I? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad we're beginning to know and to see who we really are? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? How many of you enjoyed service here Wednesday night? Was the word of the Lord outstanding? I tell you, it was just wonderful. And well, we're just looking forward to what God has in store for us tonight. We're going to have communion service here just in a little while. Preaching of the word of the Lord, some singing, and we're just going to have church here tonight. I hope that's what you've come for. Shake hands with somebody. Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church tonight. Play that one more time, guys, if you will. Sing that one more time, if you will. Oh, tell me, who am I that the King he would bleed and die for? Who am I? Not my will, thine for. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated while we look at our prayer requests tonight. Sister Bonnie Potter wants us to remember Heather Potter in prayer. Had some minor surgery done in a lot of pain. So let's pray that the Lord would be mindful of that situation. I want to pray for Brandy Anthon for a special unspoken prayer request the Lord knows all about tonight. Sister Connie Cook says, please remember me in prayer, not feeling well. Thank you, and may God bless. We want to remember her in prayer tonight. Brother Baker has a very serious, unspoken prayer request that the Lord knows all about. We just prayed for him tonight. I want to pray for Brother Michael Bailey. He has a fever, sinus infection, and he asked for prayer. So let's pray for Brother Michael tonight. Sister Linda says, please pray for my daughter Tammy and my daughter-in-law Becky. Both are dizzy, feeling sick at their stomach, so we want to remember those requests tonight. Brother Lionel LaVoy sends this in. He's just testimony, just really wants to thank this assembly for remembering him in prayer. We turned in a prayer request here a while back. Actually, he had taken a fall a few weeks back or a few months back on ice while operating his snowblower, and he took a pretty serious fall. continue to wear these back brace for a while. And noticed this one morning, not this morning, but one morning, that the pain was absolutely gone. And he wants to thank you for praying and God for touching him. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sister Ann from Norway sends this in. I have an 83-year-old mother who's going to have hip replacement surgery on Monday, April the 22nd. And she wants us to remember her in our prayers. Please also pray for my whole family to be saved while there's still time. I'm the only believer in this family, and please pray for family so far, but I'll be standing on God's promises and watch what he will do for us. And she's asking that we would remember her mother and her family in prayer as we pray. So let's remember that tonight. Brother Wade Altland, this is a tremendous testimony tonight, thanking and praising the Lord for deliverance of sugar diabetes. The doctor took me off all medications after being on them for almost 20 years. To God be the glory. Praise the Lord, Brother Wade. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to pray for little Colin Adkins. He's been recovering from a high fever. So let's remember Colin as we pray tonight. Brother Gene sends that in. Please pray for Sister Sue Sims. Has a bad cough and has hurt her back. So let's remember her tonight. And Brother John Roberts sends this in. Sister Marcy's mother, Carol Mitchell, is having severe pain in her back. And it's due to a sciatic nerve. So we certainly want to pray for that need tonight. Emma and Ellie Parker have strep. Leah and Maria have come down with symptoms. Please pray for them. So let's remember that Parker group of girls tonight, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need tonight, do you believe God's bigger than whatever your problem would be? You believe it with all your heart? Brother Chuck, would you come tonight if you would? Brother Chuck Dixon, let's stand tonight. Lead us to the Lord in prayer. As we pray over these prayer requests, let's just commit them unto the Lord. Invite his presence into this service tonight. Brother Chuck, God bless you. Appreciate this guy right here, don't we? Amen, buddy. God bless you.
Just bow our heads and pray. Precious Lord Jesus, it's an honor and privilege, Lord, that human beings, Father, that come from the dust of the earth, to look to heaven, Father, to know that you're mindful of every one of these needs. You care, Father. Now we care. And we come humbly before your throne of grace. And we ask that you would minister to every need. These requests, God, are very important. We ask that you touch each one of them. And Father, we ask that you come amongst us tonight here in this assembly. We welcome you. You're the very center of life to us, Lord. There's no need in us even being here if you don't come. We just invite you to come, Lord. Take your place at the head of the table, Father. And we'll just be so glad whatever you give us tonight to eat. We'll just eat it and just be so glad, Lord. We thank you for your love to us, Lord. We ask these blessings in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Chuck. God bless you, buddy. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're a visitor here with us in the service tonight, we certainly want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have you. All those that are streaming this service tonight, we pray that it'll be a great blessing to those folks as well. The only thing I know to do is just to hold to God's unchanging hand. That's the only thing I want to do. How about you tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight. We're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. Yes, we're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. Things eternal. We're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. Sing that chorus again. We're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand.
Changing hand.
Church, we're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. Eternal, we're gonna hold.
is filled with swift transition. Oh, naught of this earth unmoved can stand.
Oh, we're gonna
build your hopes on things eternal. Church, oh, to God's unchained.
Oh, let's sing about it now. Well, we're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand.
Vain riches,
oh,
that so rapidly decay. I want to seek to gain the heavenly treasures, for they will never pass away.
Somebody say praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you've got a hand to hold to? To be in this world without Christ would be the most miserable experience we could ever have. But to live in Satan's Eden and have Jesus Christ, it's a pretty pleasant opportunity to live for the Lord as long as He's holding us and we're holding on to Him. I'm glad to be a Christian tonight, aren't you? Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus we sung here Wednesday night. We're going to make it. I do believe that. Because I know that He that started this good work, He's not going to let it go unfinished. He will finish it. And somebody made this statement here just a few services ago. I believe it was Brother Darrell Ward made the statement. We are proof that Calvary was successful. We're living proof. Aren't you glad to be part of that tonight? Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight. Yes, I'm gonna make it. He's already said that I would. I'll keep on trusting that He's working everything for my good. Heaven is in my view. Oh, I'm gonna make it through. Now, just before we sing that again tonight, I want you to take somebody by the hand and just as an affirmation that you really believe what you're singing about. We're gonna make it, church. God's got too much invested in us for us not to make it. Do you believe that with all your heart? I want you to sing it like you believe it with everything within you tonight. We're going to make it. Look at somebody and tell them, we are going to make it. Brothers, we're going to make it. We're going to make it, Brother Harry. Let's sing it again. Yes, I'm going to make it. Already said that I would. I'll keep on trusting that He's working everything for my good. He walks beside me, and heaven is in my. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. Just as Brother Donnie gets ready to come, bring us the word of the Lord tonight. Brother Harry, I want you to sing us a song. And I want you to sing "The Dove Leads the Lamb." Will you do that for us? How many of you just love to hear him sing it tonight? Give him a big hand.
As they say down south, bless your heart. Will you help me sing and it'll be a whole lot better.
The Spirit and the Bride are saying, come. The elect are feeling the stir inside our heart. Cause our uniting time has come. We and the Father are one. Soon we'll be with our Lord forevermore. Oh, the evening light has come. The bride is making preparation. She's hearing the shout of her King. The token's been applied, he's cleaning from inside, and the dove leads the lamb once again. A fine linen, clean and white, is granted to her. She's been washed in the blood of God's own Son. With righteousness that's not her own, she's just before his throne, where she'll reign with her Lord forevermore. Oh, evening light has come, the bride is making preparation, she's still hearing the shout of her King. The token's been applied, he's cleaning from inside, and the dove leads the lamb once again. Oh, the evening light has come, the bride is making preparation, we're still here of our King. The token's been applied, he's cleaning from inside, and the dove leads the lamb once again.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Will you believe he's still leading the bride?
Amen.
With the bride?
Yes.
This week, a brother from Brother Ron Spencer's church had passed away, and they had the funeral this week. While they was having the funeral, a pillar of fire came down in the funeral service. Sinners and unbelievers saw it moving in among the funeral. There was flowers across the altar there, and some of them that hadn't even opened up yet, like this. Well, that pillar of fire was there, and flowers began to open up.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If it'll make a flower do that, what it ought to do to us. He's with us, children. He's among us. The mighty God is in our midst.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 12. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm the type of believer that I love to hear about his presence.
Amen.
I'm also the type of believer that it don't have to be here for me to believe it's real. Now, some folks can't accept that unless it's at Happy Valley. You're a denominational person. That's right. I don't care where he moves at. I'm just glad he's moving. It don't have to be here. Amen. When he moved among them, that was among us because we're part of the same body.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Ron told me today, he said, that's just simple, humble country folk. I said, country folk in preparation for city life. That's what you are. Country folk in preparation for city life. Glory to God. And I, John, saw the new city, the holy Jerusalem, descending from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. We're getting ready for real city life, saints. Not Johnson City either. Praise God. I want to speak to you tonight on the fragrance of miracles. The fragrance of miracles. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 12. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphor and with spikenard. Spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Maybe you'd like to be remembered tonight. You have something on your heart. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful to know that we are not here alone. Oh, but your presence is with your people, Lord. We believe there's great things that are happening. We believe there's a great thing laying in front of us to happen. And that is when our bodies will be changed. Heavenly Father, we invite you to make yourself known among us tonight. Lord, we need you so very, very much. We thank you for books and tapes that we have of the prophet. We thank you for the Bible. We thank you for these things. But Lord, we need you also in a live way to manifest yourself. Father, as I hold in my hand tonight this handkerchief, Lord, this prayer cloth that I'm going to preach with. Lord Jesus, you see this little need of this little girl up in Canada. Lord, I say little compared to your great power and your grace and what you can do. The greatest need we can have would be so small to that. It's great to them. It's great to her. Lord, the tumor on her ankle, just 11 years old. And Lord, it grown real big and they had to remove it. And now it's come back again since October. And Lord, into three different parts of it. And Lord, the thing is so aggressive that it can break the bones in the little girl's foot. And she's facing a surgery again in a few weeks. So dear God, I'm asking you tonight in the name of Jesus on her behalf. Then Lord, she's made friends with a little girl, Lord, there in Edmonton that's going to have surgery on the 5th day of May, and she has a brain tumor, and the doctors aren't giving her much hope. So we pray, Father, for your mercy. This is the attributes of our enemy. He is so wicked and so vile and so wretched that he'll attack little children. But Lord Jesus, we know you're a loving Father. So we ask for your mercy on their behalf. These other needs in this family, Lord, I pray that you'd move for them. Heavenly Father, needs all over this building. We just pray that you'd visit with us tonight. Now, Lord, we're after the preaching of the word. We have the communion service and we just look forward to it, Father, with anticipation. We just pray that you'd help us to create an atmosphere, Lord, that would be conducive for such. Help me, Lord, that I can know when I went far enough. You know what makes me really nervous when I have communion? I'm always so afraid that I'll go too long or I'll go in a direction of the subject matter that won't make it conducive for the atmosphere that'll be needed for it, Lord. So I pray that you'd help me tonight, Lord Jesus. May you just come among us. We love you, Lord, and may we say to you, and I'm sure you say back to us, I've desired to eat this supper with you. Bless us now as we sit together in heavenly places. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. What an honor to be in the presence of the King once again. The fragrance of miracles. I wonder sometimes if we really understand the vastness of supernatural miracles. What they do, what they're like. Most of us would identify a miracle as someone in a wheelchair and we would see them raise up and healed. Someone that would be blind and their eyes would come open. Truly that is miracles. Someone that maybe they couldn't speak or they couldn't hear. We've seen our Father do those things. But yet those miracles, as wonderful and as great as they are, they will only be temporary. Because a person who would receive a miracle, maybe be delivered of paralysis, that miracle will only last as long as their faith lasts. So they could be set free tonight and their eyes could come open and different things could happen to them. And Erie, Pennsylvania, 1951, Brother Branham experienced that and people were coming up and great miracles was happening. And he was there for an extended stay, you know, 2 weeks or three or something like that. And the angel of the Lord spoke to him and told him, said, you get up there and tell them people to repent. Because what was happening was the supernatural of God was coming down the presence of that angel. Miracles was happening. But as the people were leaving out from underneath that anointing, the evil was returning, coming right back on them. So he was telling them, you get up and tell them to repent and make things right with God so they'll be able to maintain their healing. So a miracle can be lost. But yet, if God could be able to perform miracles within the soul and seal the effect of those miracles in the soul, those miracles can never be lost. Now, truly, they may not appear as great and as wonderful as a visible, tangible miracle that people could see with their eyes. But here we sit tonight, those of us that have received the Holy Ghost and our souls have been sealed into the presence of God. You have more miracles in your soul than was written in the entirety of the New Testament of the miracles which happened just on the outside realm. Because even though people were raised from the dead, Lazarus raised from the dead, but he had to die again. The little maiden that was raised from the dead had to die again. Many that were raised, many that experienced the supernatural just on the flesh, whenever it come their time to die, what prevailed eventually? Death did. So the miracle that Jesus did on them, whether it was leprosy or opening their eyes to be able to help them to hear, to speak, or whatever it was, eventually in the end, death prevailed over the power of that miracle in their physical body. But if God supernaturally can perform a miracle called the new birth, and from that new birth begin to reshape and re-image us from the soul out, those miracles will never be lost. As a matter of fact, the scripture tells us if a person has these things, they shall never fall. It actually brings you to a spot to where you'll never regress or never lose that which God has done for you. Now again, it's not as appealing to the eyes. It's not as appealing. It doesn't make great draws for money and this and that and the other. You'll never use it on television and that sort of thing. But it is miracles which are lasting forever. I'm speaking tonight, not only in this visible audience, but those that will stream. I'm speaking to people tonight who have been changed by the power of God, and the wind from that eternal realm has blown across the sea of the body of time, and they are actually witnessing by their life the fragrance of that supernatural world, and they are testifying of a world that they've never seen, a world that they've never beheld, but yet a world that is even more real than the world we are living in tonight. As as the children of God, I truly believe God wants us to be such fragrant Christians of the miraculous of what He has done, not only in our bodies, but what He has done in our soul. And we've seen Him do wonderful things here among us, even for the natural man. But eventually, death will get us all unless we go to the power of the rapture. And we know then for the most fragrant part of the miraculous to be able to express itself in our lives. And I think we should give testimony of God heal me and God done this and God answered prayer. I believe we ought to do that. But yet, no doubt, if we give testimony to that within a week's time or 2 weeks' time or a month, we'll be facing something as great, if not greater, than what God delivered us from. But if God does something in the soul and sets that soul into the cycle of the eternal inheritance, that thing, you will never fall away from that again. It's totally impossible. You are just as saved as God Himself is. You are just as secure as the Lord Jesus is Himself. Where if you had a miracle in the body, it does not mean that the miracle that happens to you naturally will ever keep your body from getting sick again. That's not what miracles are for. Because more than likely you will get sick again. But if you ever have that miracle to transpire in your soul, you will never be a sinner again. It is totally impossible. You will make mistakes. You will fall short of the glory of God. But the devil will never have another claim on your soul as long as you live in this mortal life, because you have passed from death unto life and you belong to the Lord Jesus and you are His property. Oh, thanks be to God. And by that, I believe God wants that power of transformation to be the very thing that the fragrance of miracles comes from. That something which comes from within us produces in our life a saving effect. Now listen, to where that in the Old Testament, God would tell them to bring a certain offering. And we know the first time this instance occurs is whenever Noah comes out of the ark. And Noah offers an offering unto God. God sets the rainbow in the sky. Noah offers an offering unto God. And the Bible said that a sweet-smelling savor come up into the presence of God, and it so moved God that God said, I do set my bow in the cloud. Y'all probably seen this beautiful rainbow here Wednesday night. And it reminded me of what God had said. That promise that He had made thousands of years ago, yet He said, I do set my bow in the cloud. I will never go over that again to destroy the earth with water. So this fragrance from the sacrifice on the altar come up into the presence of God, and it was something that was so sweet smelling. Now, you know how that is as far as smell. You know how we are as mortals, that there's certain things, certain fragrances. Now, depending on what you like to eat and what you dislike, certain things that you like, oh my, breads or whatever more, meats or pies or whatever it is, and you smell that, it makes your mouth water. It just does something to you. And there's other fragrances of foods. If you don't like that food, it just irritates you. It bothers you. But yet your God began to smell these sacrifices, and He gave them in the Old Testament. The book of Leviticus, the book of Numbers also, coming up also in the book of Kings. And God would smell this as a sweet-smelling savor. And it was something that He accepted that was pleasing to Him. As a matter of fact, He identified it not only as pleasing, but well-pleasing in His sight. Now truly, when the bride is sitting here in the setting of the Song of Solomon, the bride is sitting here, her plants as an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphor and spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon. This was, of course, set forth in a prophetic setting, because Israel in this time frame could not offer this unto God, because the miracle of the new birth had not taken place within their soul. Now, they loved God, and it was a great time, truly, in the kingdom of Israel when Solomon was there. death. But it could never be able to do what the new birth would do in the New Testament. But as the New Testament begins to unfold, then we see God introducing another sacrifice, which would be a sweet-smelling savor unto God, which would not be received as a paint to be able to cover the sin, but it would be received as a bleach, which would fall upon the sin and totally annihilate the sin altogether. And then what it would do is share the capability of the sweet-smelling savor not only with the Savior, but the saved. Now listen to me. God had and created a Savior, S-A-V-I-O-U-R, which was the sweet-smelling savor, S-A-V-O-U-R, to be received and acceptable in the eyes of God for sin. But God did not want the S-A-V-I-O-U-R to be the only S-A-V-O-U-R, but He want the S-A-V-E-D to also become the S-A-V-O-U-R. Spelling class tonight. Hallelujah. And you never heard nothing in your entire life and you was going to school as important as you just heard right then. I can assure you, and I hope you'll make an A on this spelling class. Now listen, I know I'm saying something that sounds almost impossible, but the lamb in the Old Testament or the incense which was offered for the sacrifice could only produce this smell, and it would be only for a short while. If a man brought a lamb, a turtle dove, a pigeon, a bullock, whatever it was, and they would sprinkle the frankincense or the myrrh, and when they would bring it into the presence of the high priest and go through the divine procedure which was acceptable in the presence of God, it could be only offered that one time, and the next time they had to reapply it and reapply it and reapply it. That was the law. That's the only thing the law could produce. It could not produce anything lasting. And even that, the worshiper would walk away and you could tell he had been to church because the element of the incense was upon him and you could identify because he smelled similar to the Savior that was on him. But the Savior did not come from him. It come from the sacrifice which was received in proxy of this man, but yet the smell was on him. Oh, but how much different God wanted to make it in the New Testament. That God would offer an S-A-V-I-O-U-R, which would be the S-A-V-O-U-R for the S-A-V-E-D, which were his before the foundation of the W-O-R-L-D, and they are the E-L-E-C-T, they are O-R-D-A-I-N-E-D, P-R-E-D-S-T-I-N-A-T-E-D, are you going with me or not? They are the elect of God, ordained to eternal life. Wow, I didn't know I could spell all them words. Now, if God would change it from just the Savior being the Savior to where the real saved would also not only share an eternal life, but they would share in the essence of the character of the Savior. They would not only be saved from sin, but they themselves could also become an extension through the ministry of reconciliation, and they also would become savors. Woo! Praise be to God. Notice this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 15. For we are unto God a sweet savor. Now notice this, S-A-V-O-U-R. Not S-A-V-I-O-U-R. We are not a savior of Christ, because Christ don't need saving. But we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. So we are not a savior unto Christ, but we are a savor of Christ. So something has happened within us to where that there is fragrance of miracles that has so happened in our lives that we actually become part of the sweet-smelling savor of the gospel. Now notice, this is in your Bible. For we are unto God a sweet savor, like the smell of pleasant incense. Or as David said, that his prayers would be offered at the evening sacrifice, and let them
them become as the incense. I hear David having a little bit of insight that a man's prayers before God could be so harmonious with what God wanted. It was as though the prayers themselves without the myrrh or the frankincense could be the frankincense. Remember the book of Revelation? Whenever the prayers of the saints are offered up, which are the incense of the prayers of the saints. So here the words of the saved become so mixed with the miraculous of the supernatural that their walk, their talk, their prayers, their behavior becomes so scented in the presence of God that they become scented not only in the presence of Christ, but they become the aroma of the saved in the eyes of the unbeliever. Now, the unbeliever may not accept it and the unbeliever may not be changed by it, but as I'll show you here in a moment, that we are not only the savor unto life, but we are also the incense or the savor unto death. It just really depends upon how people receive who and what we are. Oh my, for we are unto God a sweet savor. Now notice here Paul is paralleling, of course, to that day and to the ministry of that day, but also to the body of the elect. That the elect of God in that day, their lives were so pleasing to God that God accepted their work and God accepted what they did. And God accepted the way they lived. And God looked at that and accepted their lives and their work and their labor. And to God it was like an incense, no longer now from a turtle dove or a goat or a pigeon or something like that, but a lived life by the word becomes the word express. So when it becomes sacrificial into the presence of God, then God receives that as if it is a savor on the altar. My, no wonder Paul said in Romans, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is only your reasonable service. So if we are going to give our bodies as a living sacrifice, unless we do it according to the divine order of God, it's an absolute waste. But if we do it by the order of God, when we give ourselves, we sacrifice our ideas. You, sister, sacrifice your right to look like a Jezebel. You sacrifice your right as an American to do what they want you to do. And what do? You present your body as a living sacrifice unto God. And then if that is done in divine order, which way deity receives it, then God receives your sacrifice and it becomes a sweet smelling savor from Christ unto God. So you become the anointed savor by the Savior because you are saved. You're not just saved from your sin. Don't get in your mind now. I'm talking about all those that are saved from your sin. There's different categories of being saved. I'm not just saved from my sins. I'm saved from tribulation. I'm not just saved from my sin. I'm saved from wrath. I'm saved from the white throne judgment. I'm really saved. A lot of folks are saved from their sins, but they're not saved from the white throne. Now what? So the word here rendered sweet savior is applied to persons or things that are well pleasing to God. So he said, we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. So our divine fragrance comes from the miraculous power of Christ in our lives. Now it's not a bunch of words. Well, I'm in Christ. I can do what I want to do, live the way I want to live. No, your life is not fragranted by the power of Christ if you're doing what you want to do. Because you're not your own. We belong to Him. He bought us with a price. This is why He can tell us what to do. This is why He can tell you the way to live, the kind of music to listen to, kind of clothes to wear, because you don't belong to yourself. If you belong to yourself, you're not safe from the judgment. Amen. I'm not saying you're not safe from sin, but I'm saying you're not safe from the judgment. Now, it properly means then an odor or a fragrance which is coming from the work of Christ. Now, and listen to this, the Septuagint, which is one of the Old Testament Hebrew books. The Septuagint, it is frequently applied to the incense that was burnt in the public worship to God and sacrifices that were offered in general. Now, notice this word that Paul uses, for we are under God, a sweet savior of Christ in them that are saved. saved. Now we are Christ's sweet savor unto God. So what would they do in the Old Testament? They would take a lamb, we'll say, and they'd come and offer that lamb for a trespass offering or a sin offering. And then they would bring it before the priest, and the priest would sprinkle just a little bit of this incense on it. Now watch, there's you and Jesus together. So he would take the body of the lamb, and he would cut it apart, dissect it, do exactly what they're supposed to according to the word, and then they'd lay it up on the altar, and then they would mingle that with a little bit of the incense with the burning flesh being salted or being flavored over with that incense. It would be the merging together of the sacrifice being anointed with the spice. As it came together, it produces fragrance in the presence of God. Now this is why we could speak in tongues and not have charity and we're nothing. This is why we could give our bodies to be burned if we have not charity. You follow me? We've got to be sprinkled with Christ himself in order to make all of our sacrifices acceptable in the presence of God. We can pray all night, we can read our Bible, we can do all these things, but unless we are sprinkled with the incense of the personal life of Christ, not you claiming him, him claiming you. You see, it was the high priest which sprinkled this incense upon the lamb, not the lamb sprinkling it on itself. Well, I'm this and I'm that, which is what Christianity does today. I'm a believer, I'm going to heaven, I'm this. That's them taking the so-called incense and sprinkling it all over them. But friend, that will not be acceptable in the eyes of God. It must be Christ the Word that sprinkles this upon their lives, because he is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and that's the only way you will be accepted in the eyes of God. You folks going to preach to me now? Oh my. Notice this. He says, then we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. So we are that which is appointed and that which is anointed. We are the offering, as it were, that is to be accepted by God in the last days. We are the offering. Now, we're not an offering for sin. We are an offering that is given to Christ upon his altar of love. This is why we must be inspected by the world. We've got to be ridiculed by Pilate. We've got to be laughed at. Oh, that's got to come our way too. But remember, it will come that way only to those who are elect. Can't you see why the world out here don't persecute the world church? They're not laid on the altar of God. You see why the many systems are not persecuted? Can't you see why this message must be persecuted from without and from those which were within? Why they must turn their back against it? Why don't they spend all their time running down the Pope? They're the ones killed all these people. We ain't killed nobody. Come on. Brother Branham never taught us to kill anybody. Allah, you know, through the Muslim deal, they teach their people all the time, kill people. Read it in the book of the Quran. If you don't believe it, you don't have to take my word for it. Why don't they spend all their energies going against that? They can't, because that will not be accepted on the altar of God as a last day sacrifice. It's the word of the hour. It's the word of the hour that must be blasted by all of them. It's the word of the hour that must be ridiculed. Oh, but may God accept our sacrifice sprinkled with Christ. May God accept my life, my pride, my name, whatever more that must be offered on his altar. May God take my reputation, if it's got to be battered and blasted to pieces, may God accept it sprinkled with the offering of Christ Jesus. Amen. Watch this. For we are unto God a sweet savior of Christ, because we are the aroma of Christ to God. So when you and I do something, this is why everything I do for people, I talk to people and talk to people. I give people my time. Everybody I sit in there and talk to, probably 10% of them even listen to what I've got to say. Oh yeah, they'll take 2 or 3 hours of my time. Oh, brother, I want this and I want that. They wind up doing nothing because they sort through and get what they want. The rest of it, they throw in the garbage. But I talk to every one of them as if it was Jesus himself sitting there. I never lose. Cause I'm doing it unto Christ. The people we've helped here in our church, my goodness, this church has given no telling how much money to some people that were lower than dogs. Can come in this church and bleed us and take thousands and thousands of dollars and then get up and go wherever. We didn't do it so much unto them. We did it unto Christ. That way we don't lose. Come on, children. It would help your attitude about a lot of things if you would take it that way. When you talk to people, talk them as unto Christ. When you give, give as unto Christ. When you pray, pray as unto Christ. Let me read you this. I found this so amazing. In the account of the martyrdom of Polycarp, it describes the burning of Polycarp at the stake. This burning emitted a fragrant smell as if it were the odor of frankincense or other precious spices. Any of y'all ever smelt burning human flesh? I laid several years ago and had my eyes corrected by laser. They strapped my head in so my head wouldn't move. And they emitted a laser beam only so many seconds on the cornea of my eye to be able to straighten it out. One of them is corrected to 20/20 and the other one's corrected to 20/25. So my brain will switch between the two when I'm reading up close or far away. And I laid there with that laser beam, this light. You could see it just to right, and Carol could see it on the outside on a monitor as they was reshaping my cornea. And the first time that laser beam hit my cornea, I could smell that smell. And I laid there, you know how many ever seconds that it was, smelling my own flesh, as it were, being burnt. Y'all ought to be used to that. I mean, that's what it is when we come to church. You know what I mean? Except this light is faster than a laser beam. Now it's strange because this is helping me, but it's burning me. And they had to numb my eye, and this laser beam is coming into my eye for so many seconds, and I'm smelling the smell. And it ain't you. It ain't you. It's me I'm smelling. Right? And it didn't smell good. It didn't smell good at all. Now, can you imagine Polycarp? Here this man is being offered as an offering unto God because of his faith. Now, remember, this was the season for this to happen. And in this time, God supernaturally projected something in the natural atmosphere that matched what Polycarp's soul already had. Polycarp's soul was emitting the fragrance of the miraculous, and God performed a miracle at his death. And when his flesh is being burned, his muscles are being cooked, his eyes are being boiled out in his head and his hair singeing off of his body, God allowed a supernatural something to take place. Oh my. And let there be an aroma that fill their all children. I pray and hope to God by his work, he will let our lives emit, not so much like this, but a supernatural fragrance of the miraculous in the way we live. My, in the way we talk and the way we behave and the way we live every day before this lost, dying world that we're in. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Notice this in the Smyrnian church age. Brother Bram said, the church of Smyrna passed through the fiery furnace of tribulation, but it was a sweet-smelling savor unto him. Now remember, this is the 10 days. The 10 days of the book of Revelation, which actually was prophetic terms. It was 10 years, actually, under the dominion of Diocletian, the emperor, which is one of the most wicked that there was. And the church was killed and burnt and stomped out. And they tried to do everything they could to annihilate them. But somehow God received it as a sweet-smelling savor. Notice again in the great shining light, he said, what did frankincense mean, the perfume? Talking about the gifts they brought to Jesus. He was the sweet-smelling savior unto God. Now, none of us can be this. None of us can be this. We are not the sweet-smelling savior unto God. We are sweet-smelling savor of Christ unto God. There's only one sweet-smelling savior, and that's the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now notice, he says he was the sweet-smelling Savior unto God. He went about healing the sick and doing good. He said gold because he was a king, frankincense because he was a sweet-smelling Savior unto God. His life so pleased him that God breathed in his holiness and beauty, for it was his own holiness reflected in him. Now notice, he don't stop there. Oh, if we could be a sweet-smelling savor, not savior, savor. If we could be a sweet-smelling savor, if God's holiness could be reflected in us. Oh my, so you mean it don't want to stop with the savior? It wants to continue on in the saved. So the saved can become a savor unto God and unto the unbeliever. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, if we could be a sweet-smelling savor, if God's holiness could be reflecting in us till we go about doing good as Jesus of Nazareth, till it would be a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. But we fuss, we argue, we stew. Now what's he doing? He's showing the positive and now he's showing the contrast of what will keep this from you. You can't be a sweet-smelling savor fussing, arguing, stewing, debating. That's why I'm not going to do it for him. I refuse to do it. People want to talk about the word, I'll talk about it. When it comes to arguing, I'm not going to do it. I'll not trade up my sweet smell for a fuss. I'll not trade off the way I smell in the presence of God to prove my point with somebody who wants to argue. I've learned that by experience, because the devil will pull you into an argument just like that. And you think you're defending the word, and the devil knows he's making a stink out of you. And you're becoming a little stinker instead of a sweet-smelling fragrance in the presence of God. Because your arrogance, your pride, your temper. Come on, Happy Valley. Oh my, notice he said, that's the reason it becomes a stench in the nostrils of God, our lives. We're in and out of places we shouldn't be. We say things we ought not to say, do things we ought not to do. We fuss and take sides with the world and deny Christ in the great crucial moments. That's the reason we can't be a sweet smelling savor. Again, he says, I believe if a minister would stay before God until he came into the pulpit, he had come out as a sweet smelling savor. This is what I want to be every time I preach. I don't care if it's correction, if it's revelation, if it's something to make a shout, pout, or jump. I want to stay in the presence of God, whether it's this office or another man's office, until I can come out of there and I can be a sweet smelling savor. You say, Brother Donnie, how in the world can you say this? Because this is the message of the hour. This is describing me. This is what I'm supposed to be. I'm not to be anybody's savior to save them from sin. But me being a savior, I might actually help save them from sin. I might point them and they might say, well, I've seen a bunch of hypocrites and I'll tell you this and that. But right there's a man. Right there's a young boy. Right there's a young girl. I'll tell you one thing. I believe they're a real Christian. Don't you see what they're doing? They're sniffing your life. They're smelling something. What is it? It's the fragrance of the miraculous. It's the miracles of fragrance that they smell in your life. Glory! It's not just your theology. It's not how well you can explain it. Oh my, I believe if a minister would say before God until he came into the pulpit, he'd come out as a sweet-smelling savor, anointed with the Holy Spirit to bring the message of God to the hungry-hearted people who are waiting. Notice again, he says this about the minister. I think any man that comes to the pulpit to preach should stay in the quietness of God and come out as a sweet-smelling savor. What a challenge for us preachers. To get quotes together, than in all of it. To get a thought together, than in all of it. We got to stay in the presence of the Rose of Sharon until we come out as a sweet-smelling savor. You might come in here in an old bad mood and sour and maybe all kinds of things is going on, but I want to be anointed so much with the presence of God that if I can get around you a little bit, that pleasant smell, aromatherapy, it'll begin to transform you and do something to you. Take that old sour look off your face and boy, you know, a little smile's breaking loose on this side. And then the concrete breaks around that side of your face and extends over to the other side. And next thing you're standing like that, what in the world? Aroma from a minister. Oh my, may the musicians, may the song leader, may every one of us be so anointed in the presence of God that when we come in this place, hallelujah, we will create such a fragrance of the miraculous. Oh, glory. Notice this now, look in verse 15, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. As the Roman priests would burn the incense in the parade of victory, now notice what would happen. The Roman priests would come before the generals as they come back from taking Gaul or wherever it was. And I found this in history. I thought it's so parallel to it. As a Roman priest burned the incense of the parade of victory, that odor affected different people in different ways. To the triumphant soldiers, it meant life and victory. But to the conquered enemy, it meant defeat and death, for they were on their way to be killed by the beasts. So you can imagine as they're having the victory parade and before the generals and the charioteers and all that come through, here comes the priest burning the incense. And when they're burning it to the Roman soldiers, it meant our victory. We have won the battle. The conquest we have won it. Here we come. But if you were a defeated foe and you were brought up to that, the smell of that same incense meant you were fixing to lose your life. Oh, Lord have mercy. Don't you understand when the bride gets to smelling so much like the Rose of Sharon, it means the tribulation period's right at the door. Lord have mercy. When the bride can so get herself out of the way that we start smelling the victory of the conquest, it means Satan's defeat is right at hand, Brother Jim. When we go to smelling so much like the Savior himself, the conquest has been achieved. The rapture is at hand. What is it we're smelling? We're smelling the flowers from the other side. Amen. We're smelling the breeze off the river of life. Praise be to God. Oh my. You imagine Paul as he sees the believers as incense, giving forth the fragrance of Jesus in their lives and in their labor. So to God, believers are a savor of Christ. To other believers, they are a savor unto life. To unbelievers, they are a savor unto death. Now the sad part about it is there's been lots of folks that's been saved here from this church. Been lots of folks saved from other message churches, lives transformed. But at the same time, there'll be lots of lives that'll be condemned at that day. From the very same fragrant life of the same pastor or the same assembly. Come on now. In other words, the Christian life and ministry has a twofold effect, just like it did with the Savior. The Savior had the capability of delivering and bringing the fragrance of another land on the other side of the river there of time and being able to smell eternity, but he also had the capability of saying this, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Right? So he was the Savior of life unto those who had their names in the book of life. And he was the savor unto death, the incense, the fragrance unto death of those who were eternally separated before the foundation of the world. So the same message of this end time that brought deliverance to us will condemn the masses. Oh, can you imagine the life of every member of the bride the life of every member of the bride. Oh, Jesus, help me to say it, Lord. The life of the elect of God that are so anointed with Christ, the Savior. That they become in such harmony with Him, sitting at His table around His Word. And their lives dying out to their pride and their arrogance and whatever more that they are. And they become so fragrant. It's as if though they are, they're in the path of the wind. And the wind is carrying the smell. I've never been on the sea myself as far as out in a ship, but I've done a little bit of research on this. And I found out that those mariners which were on the ships can actually smell an island and able to smell land and then being miles still out in the ocean or the sea because the wind is coming and blowing and they're able to smell it though they can't see it, though they can't taste it. Oh my. Can you imagine a child of God whose life is so fragrant with the presence of God and the north wind begins to blow from the isle of paradise and their soul already in the presence of God of paradise. And it begins to blow to the wayward man, the mariner out in the sea of time. He's lost without God. He don't know which way to go. And through their life comes a breeze to tell them what that land they're going to is like. So if they're going to Tobago or Trinidad or wherever it is, and the wind begins to blow the fragrance of the blooms and the fruits off of that land, they know what that land is going to be like by the smell. Oh, glory. Can't you see a real Holy Ghost-filled child of God? They are influenced by heaven. And when the Spirit of God blows out of their life, it's telling them what heaven's going to be like. When you see perfect love and forgiveness and all of this, what is it? It's a glimpse from the island of paradise. Oh. Oh my. Notice in verse 16, to the one, we are the savor of death unto death. And to the other, savor of life unto life. Not Jesus. Not angels. The church. When you stand against God's church, you stand against God. He said, I don't believe that. Ask Paul. Paul persecuted the church, and when he met Jesus, he said, what are you doing persecuting me? He said, I ain't never seen you in my life. He could say, I don't know who you even are. He said, but when you persecute my church, you're persecuting me. Oh, my. Let's close. Let's read our scripture for communion now. Praise God. Oh, don't you want to be a savior? Your life, your walks, your works, everything that you do, that God can look at you and God can sprinkle you with Christ. And then they, the people of the world, even the ones that laugh at you and make fun of you, they're able to smell. This is what heaven. Can you honestly think that the people who drink and run around in the world and live like everything and dress like everything, could we honestly say the smell coming off of them, that's what heaven's going to be? You mean heaven's going to be full of bob-haired women? Heaven's going to be full of drunks and liars and marijuana smokers and dope smokers and everything else. That's what heaven's like. Why would I want to go? My Lord, if it's going to be eternity like it is here, just let me die here and forget it. You understand? So what a real child of God, one who becomes a savor, is reflecting the island of paradise. First Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 21. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. The Savior speaking to the saved. Right? Take this and do this in remembrance of me. This is why we're going to partake of this tonight.
in remembrance of the Savior. After the same manner, he also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, notice what he does. He takes the cup and he partakes first. When he had supped. Oh my. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Well, as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. And don't stop there. And so let him eat of that bread. So you examine yourself, and then if you find something there out of order, what do? You make that thing right. You don't get up and walk out more fix and have, or you don't miss communion service. Look, friend, if you're not fit for communion, you're not fit for the rapture. People who wouldn't take communion tonight, you're not ready for the rapture. Whatever would keep you out of the communion would hinder you out of the rapture. So let's examine ourselves and get rid of what we find there, and then let us eat. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Verse 30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Oh my. Many sleep. Now, with this scriptures in mind, and also with what we've talked about tonight, with being a savor, let's just approach the Lord for just a few moments of silent prayer. Now, you're not just praying for yourself. You pray for the people that are around you. Lord, my brother and sister, you see every heart. Anybody here tonight, Lord, that would go to partake of this, help them. Let's just pray for one another. Grant it, dear God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, as I hold these elements in my hand, Lord, as I sit at the table today and I watch Carol tear this in pieces, I couldn't keep from thinking about your body being broken, bruised, the Savior. Here we stand tonight, miracles of fragrances. Lord Jesus, as we partake of these natural elements, may we do it with reverence and respect in commemoration to your death. Bless and sanctify this bread, I pray, Father. For every person that picks up a little portion and puts it in their mouth, make it real to them, dear God, I ask. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, these little cups which hold the wine. Lord, what a very type of what I spoke about. As soon as I removed the lid, the fragrance of the wine hit my nose, and I'm sure these brothers standing here close, the fragrance coming up. It's because of the properties of the wine, the aroma that begins to arise out of it. The aroma is somehow within itself, the chemical reaction. Oh, Lord, I pray tonight, Heavenly Father, every believer that presses this little cup to their lips, may they realize this is not a form or ritual. It's symbolizing the blood of the Lord Jesus. And now we, as the saved, by the power of the Savior, can become the savor of this last age. Help us, I pray, Father. Bless this wine, I pray, for its intended use. Lord, we're taught there's healing in the communion. Lord, we have so many testimonies of people that have come through the communion line and been healed. Lord, I pray, grant it so tonight, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you.
St. John 13, 2, supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Now this is the Savior. Watch what he does. After that, he pours water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Hallelujah. Dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not to save it wash his feet, but is ever clean, ever whit, and you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, You are not all clean. After he had washed their feet, now think about how overwhelming it must have been for them. In our Western thinking, it doesn't mean that much to us. But a foot wash flunky was the lowest paid man in a household. For Jesus to take a towel and a pan of water or a bowl of water and wash their feet, it was as if he was submitting himself to be the lowest person in that entire household. You can see why Peter was overwhelmed by it. After he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Happiness don't come with always knowing the truth. Real happiness comes in obeying the truth. Our sisters will go to the fellowship hall, and our brothers will stay here. Thank you.
offering ourselves for one another, Lord, which may follow the example of the Savior. We are anointed, Lord God, that we can be a sweet smell as the Savior. To the world, that we ridicule and make fun and have no understanding of whatsoever, but to us, Lord, we see the light of the Savior reflected in the land. Lord, how grateful we are, Lord, that yet we can just live.
Good enough for me. Well, give me that old
religion. Give me that old time religion. Lord, it's good enough for me. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. Lord, it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It's that old time Holy Spirit. And the devil, he won't go near it. That's the reason some people fear it. But it's good enough for me. Well, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Lily of the valley, let your sweet aroma fill my life. Rose of Sharon, show me how to grow in beauty in God's sight. Fairest of 10,000s, make me a reflection of your light. I pray day stars shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Your love shine through me in the night.
Let's sing it together. Glory.
Lord, I see a world that's dying.
It's dying, Lord.
Wounded by the master of the sea. Groping in the darkness, haunted by the years of past defeat.
Oh,
oh but then I see you standing near me, Lord, shining with compassion in your eyes. Shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night.
All those worshiping saints.
Lord, I follow. Open up the door. Lord, I want to be a witness. You can take what's wrong and make it right. Lord, I know you can operate. Day stars shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night.
Let's sing that chorus one more time. Good or what? Somebody say praise the Lord. Just as you leave tonight, this little song on our mind, let's sing it, Brother Harry. I could almost see the lights of that city. Can you almost see them tonight? Is your heart yearning for that place? Is your heart crying out? Let's sing about it tonight just before we go. Of course, I can almost see. Oh, I can almost see the lights of that city. I see them gathering all around the great white throne. Through faith in my Savior and His wonder.
Tales of a city that he saw coming down, where no sorrow or death will be known. And someday,
hallelujah,
we can go there through his sometimes when I'm burdened and my cross seems hard to bear, and oh Satan, he tries to dim my view.
Here's what we do.
I just look up to Jesus.
Yes, we do.
He's always standing close by, and once again His great light shines through.
See you, church. Where
wonderful love.
Well, I can almost see the lights of hope. God bless you. Service in the morning at 11. City, I see them gathering.